Mini-episode 1938 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1938. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our SummerSlam 2026 preview. Here's our top five notes of interest about the biggest sports entertainment show of the summer. Next month, we'll be previewing the biggest pro wrestling card of the summer, All in London. Number five, it's the sixth consecutive SummerSlam to be held in a stadium, and the second consecutive one to run two nights. That's a tough combination for ticket selling in an atmosphere where the red-hot public support has been cooling in 2026. WrestleMania, held in Las Vegas, coincidentally the place that kicked off the run of SummerSlam stadium shows 5 years ago, was plagued by soft ticket sales that even made their way into the execrable Pat McAfee storyline. Ducats have moved even slower for this spectacle. The time between Mania and Slam has been dominated by the reformation of the Bloodline, ostensibly as a face faction this time, but in reality, more of a tweener unit. Given that the Bloodline storyline was instrumental in the hottest part of the boom period from 2022 to 24, reheating this figurative food was very predictable, and results have been mixed to date. Number four. The undercard matches won't be selling any tickets. With Rhea Ripley on the sidelines, there's a thrown-together five-way ladder match for the interim WWE Women's Championship, where the best that can be said is that the participants do have history with one another. The aforementioned Bloodline unit will be in a trios match, with the Usos and Jacob Fatu facing the makeshift unit of LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, and Royce Keyes, in a poster child contest for the modern Fed, inasmuch as the match itself will be completely overshadowed by the moments that are all that the creative team cares about. Danhausen continues his cutesy poo overexposure in a showdown with the company's other heavily promoted clown, Dominic Mysterio. Trick Williams will be defending the U.S. title against Baron Corbin, and Fatal Influence wrestles the Bella Twins and Paige. Sami Zayn and Finn Balor wrestle for a shot at the WWE title, with both having already lost title matches to somebody above the glass ceiling, CM Punk. Also probably to be added, Bron Breakker and Austin Theory defending the World Tag Team titles against Alpha Academy. Yay. Number three. There's one match wedged between the undercard and the plausible semi-main event matches that exemplifies the Fed's present hesitation to elevate talent. The two world title matches feature the only four full-time main eventers that the company trusts to anchor stadium shows at this moment in time. The Intercontinental title match between champion Penta and red-hot challenger Chad Gable, who is coming off the elevation of a lifetime with the El Grande Americano angle in AAA this year, is the kind of event that could serve to elevate both men. Think back 28 years ago when The Rock and Triple H battled for this very same strap right before both men became legitimate main eventers by the next WrestleMania. At that time, the secondary title could serve as a launching pad to move further up the card. Think back to Randy Savage, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and Diesel, among others. Neither Penta nor Gable, as strong as they have been, factor into the company's future main event plans, which appear to be reserved for the aforementioned Trick Williams, Jacob Fatu, Oba Femi, and maybe still Bron Breakker if he hasn't been fatally tainted by the Hindenburg-like crash of the Vision over the past year. The Dave Meltzer term of over more than his push applies to both Penta and Gable, And guys who get over organically are always disadvantaged relative to the favorites of the office, a commonality from the Vince days to this TKO era. You can bet that Rusev will be giving both men a small, sympathetic smile when they come back through the curtain. Number two, the semi-main events are strong but not deep. It's an ongoing theory of ours that you can judge a big card by the number of plausible semi-main events that it has. If SummerSlam were a one-night show, then the presence of three such matches would be respectable. On a show broken into two nights, not so much. Honestly, we're probably being generous counting the Gunther-Nick Aldis clash on this level, inasmuch as the latter man is a former TNA, NWA, and Rocka King world champion, but is completely unknown as an in-ring competitor by WWE fans, so there's no tie-in to Gunther's legend killer gimmick here. The match was thrown together as a clash against authority by the big Austrian that came after, frankly, the company booked itself into a corner by being forced to put him in world title matches, but had no intention of keeping him in that scene for very long. It should be a pretty good match regardless. Liv Morgan defending the World Women's title against Io Sky is the rare combination these days between two women stars who have been well-booked and are thus over, have a strong program going, and should be able to live up to the billing in-ring. Obafemi against Brock Lesnar supplants the Gunther-Brock match long forecast for Lesnar's de facto hometown on this stage, but since it probably would have had to have been a retirement match, that might have eliminated the possibility. Why wouldn't Brock want more paydays on his laughably light schedule? And as we're laying out, there's only a handful of sports entertainers on earth that the company trusts with the top spots these days. So we get the close of a de facto best two out of three series that is every bit as predictable in its ending as the Brock Cody program of 3 years ago. It should be a strong sprint match, though, probably short, but full of a lot of entertaining bombs. The standard should be the great action level of Brock and Goldberg at Mania 33, but a bit longer. Number one, the main event spots are being contested by all of the remaining full-time wrestlers above the glass ceiling. Drew McIntyre was WWE champion as recently as the beginning of this year, but he's nowhere to be found right now. So the only four wrestlers tasked with moving the super expensive tickets in a difficult inflationary climate, where the product is also cooling, are CM Punk and Cody Rhodes contesting the WWE title, and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins contesting the world title. Punk and Rhodes are working an interesting Shades of Grey program that could see one figure turn heel, but will probably just lead to solidified tweener status by both men. They should have a very well-booked and executed contest. Reigns and Rollins will be writing the next chapter in their 14-year story that has seen them create history as teammates in the Shield and opponents on big stages. In company canon, Reigns, despite becoming the bigger superstar by far, as the company always intended, has never gotten the better of Rollins. That makes this match on this stage predictable in what the outcome must be, inasmuch as it's obvious that Reigns, in the upcoming twilight of his career, will be pushed as the greatest of all time, just like John Cena before him. Checking off the Seth Rollins box will be a necessary step on that road. While we're not at all confident of great, unforgettable action throughout both nights, there will definitely be moments here and there, quite fitting, because these days the company is built almost exclusively around moments and intrusive advertising, too. Can't forget about that. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.